The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not-so-fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
And welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Adam and Ann here, sitting with David Niles in studio, and I am pumped about this episode.
Me too. This is a good topic. Most people, you don't hear a lot of people talk about this.
Right. So I'm really excited about, and we're going to be doing it first on the Catholic Man Show in the second segment.
Yes, very true.
So I'm really excited about that. We have an epic man beverage tonight. We have
very hard to get your hands on it.
Very hard to get your hands on. We have new hardware in the back of the studio. Just go ahead and put that right there.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Go ahead and put that right there. If you are just now tuning in, we are Facebook Live. We are. You can check this episode out on YouTube as well. But I have the Council of Man fantasy football trophy with me here today.
Feels good.
And it's a good one.
Feels good to hold it.
So, welcome everybody, one and all. Thank you so much for tuning in.
And your name is at the... I can't believe that you won.
I won last year. So if you guys can check this out, you will see that my name is on the plaque. It's pointed on the Bev cam. My name is the first one because I won last year. This year is still up for grabs. Obviously, we're in week two. I'm 1-1, so still got a shot.
I'm 2-0. And I think this week and last week, if I had played, this week there was only one other person I could have played and won. And last week was a similar story. Right. Yeah.
So you're living right. If this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, we do three things every episode. We open, review, and enjoy a man beverage, which, by the way, I just want to talk really quick about opening, reviewing, and enjoying a man beverage.
Okay.
Because we were questioned on, a caller was called into the Catholic Answers Live, one of our favorite programs on Catholic radio, and asked about drinking as a Catholic. And
hang on,
actually,
let me open my beer while you do this.
Okay. asked Jimmy Akin actually about our show. Brought up our show specifically that we drink on air, and
right.
And that we are thought it was a little in excess because we drink every episode.
Yeah, and I thought he was the guy who called. Mm-hmm. I thought he was really honestly asking. You
right.
Know,
wasn't. I wasn't bitter about it at all.
Sure.
But I think this goes to show that we have to make sure every episode we go through. Dave, I feel like that we go through painstaking efforts to promote moderation on this show.
Yeah.
And to talk about how it's important to know thyself, that moderation looks different for everybody, that alcoholism is a real thing and has affected a lot of people, and that we need to be sensitive to these people.
Yeah.
But that we're just enjoying a beverage. This doesn't mean that we drink every day. This does not mean that we drink every night. This is a one evening a night that we get together and we have a drink together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not glorifying drinking. What we hope to glorify is the goodness that can come out of drinking, fellowship,
brotherhood,
leisure,
mm-hmm.
It's simply enjoying, you could glorify drinking in as much as you could glorify chocolate in that it's something enjoyable.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good thing in its proper amount, in its proper place, in its proper time.
Right. So anyway, I just wanted to make sure that we cover that and
great
really hit that hard.
Great idea, Adam.
The second thing we do on the Catholic Man Show is we highlight a man gear. Today is going to be a very fun man gear. A first for us. As far as applying the application of the second segment.
Gotcha.
And then the third thing we do is we have a manly conversation. And today's is going to be true to form because it is going to be a manly combo. So, Dave, this episode is brought to you by Father Stewart.
The man beverage is certainly brought to you by Father Stewart Crevcore. He also, check this out. Can you hold this up for the Bev Cam?
Yes, I can.
Just look at this stationery.
Solid.
I saw this and I said, this is, not only is it beautiful, you know, it's decorative, but also manly.
Mm-hmm. It's tough to get beautiful.
Tough to pull that off. It's, I think, as a man, I find it difficult to find good stationery. Maybe, have we done stationery as a man gear? Yeah, we have.
Yeah, we have.
Anyway, it's very hard to find something like that.
Right.
So, I saw this letter, and the last time he sent us a letter, it was sealed with wax. With a wax.
Yeah. Anyway,
so he was in Wisconsin.
Yes.
And brought back a couple of these spotted cows for us.
Yes.
Which you can only get in Wisconsin.
What, one thing that immediately stood out to me was that it's employee owned, and they like really bring that, drive that home, that it's employee owned. It's not made, you know, owned by this big company like InBev or anything like that. It's employee owned.
Before I give a go at it, I would like your attempt at this word.
Dude, you always put me on the spot like this.
Right here.
Reinheitsgebot.
I would say Reinheitsgebot.
Okay. I was pretty pretty close.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm right. That's just Reinheitsgebot.
Hey,
is what
let's cheers though.
Good idea.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus, our King.
When I drink this beer, it's not anything crazy or anything fancy. It just tastes to me like a beer is supposed to taste like.
It tastes like a good Trappist monk beer, actually. That was kind of one of my first thoughts.
It is kind of, what's the word?
It's malty.
But where do they live? It's not Germany. It's not Germany. Belgium. It is Belgian. Knee? Belgian-y?
Sure. We'll go with it.
It's Belgiumistic.
Belgiumistic. Let's do that one. Mm-hmm. Okay. I pick C, Belgiumistic.
But anyway, this beer, it says Spotted Cow, adheres to the Reinheitsgebot purity law, using only four ingredients for this beer.
Okay.
Yeast, hops, water, and malted barley. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's it. And a beer purist would say,
well done, my good and faithful servant.
That is indeed. Indeed. That is all that should be used in a beer. If you're shouldn't add anything else.
Right. It's a good farmhouse ale. This is a solid farmhouse ale.
Probably the best farmhouse ale I have memory of having.
Okay.
Farmhouse ales, usually they're very refreshing. Good for a summer
Why don't
beverage.
You give Father Stewart a cheers, a toast?
Father Stewart, raise my glass to you in appreciation and thanks for your generosity, for supplying a rare treat for us. Your manliness is an example and a benchmark I someday hope to attain.
And we cheers to your
cheers.
Vocation.
Cheers to you. See you in heaven. And before then, I hope.
Hopefully. God willing.
But mostly, I hope I see you in heaven. Even if I don't see you again, before then, I mostly hope to see you there.
I love that. I use that now sometimes. Whenever we were in Phoenix this last year for the men's conference, we saw that one priest there who knew Father Brian O'Brien. I can't remember his name. Can you?
Father Paul.
Okay. Well done.
How about that?
Yeah, I like it. I don't know if it's true or not, but we'll go with
it. It's Father Paul.
And he, as we were leaving the dinner, he said, all right, well, if I don't see you again, I'll see you in heaven. I was like, I like that.
I hope.
Yeah. I like that. I'll take it. Craig on Facebook said that he's having Spotted Cow with us.
No way.
Yeah.
Is he in Wisconsin?
He must be. So that's a treat.
They also have good cheese.
They do have good cheese.
In Wisconsin.
Yes, they do. The men's camp out. I'm so pumped about it, dude. I can't wait.
It's full?
It's full now. Yes, we are now at capacity. However, if you are just dying to get in and you're like,
send us a check for $1,000.
No, we can probably squeeze one or two more in because one or two will probably drop off, but between now and then. But just get on the waiting list. Just
so send us
a Facebook message, yeah, so we can, and we'll put you on the waiting list.
Okay.
So that
great idea. Great idea.
That's the plan. October 18th through the 21st, Clear Creek Abbey. Dave, we're actually taking our kids camping this weekend. What do you think about that? Are you excited? I'm pumped. I'm a little nervous.
Yeah. I've been talking to Elizabeth, you know, throughout the week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this weekend, just you and me. We're going camping.
Yeah, because it's
going to be just you and me.
Me?
And she'll say, not Mary. Not Mary.
Not Mary. Yeah.
Just you and me.
So it's me and my boys, you and Mary, Juan.
Me and Elizabeth.
I'm sorry, you and Elizabeth. Yeah. Juan and his son, Santi. And then another friend of ours, or another friend of Juan's. I've never met him before.
Yeah, the Grahams.
Grahams?
Yeah.
Yeah, and his son or daughter?
I don't know. He has a son. He has daughters.
Okay.
I'm not sure who he plans on bringing.
But anyway, we're going to go
Maybe the Graylesses. Who knows?
Oh, really?
Well, yeah.
Oh, awesome. Well, we're going to be at Clear Creek. We're going to kind of get a taste of what the men's camp out is going to be. At least.
Oh, maybe the Bassetts. That's who I was thinking.
Oh, yeah. The Bassetts. Yeah. So I'm really excited about going camping. Nervous, yet excited.
Don't be nervous.
Well, I mean, it'll be fine, but.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be great.
The chances of us dying, I think, are very low.
That's true. I agree with that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, thank you, Father Stewart, for this man beverage, Spotted Cow, and nice farmhouse ale. When we get back, we're going to bring back Jonathan. Hang in there. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We have a very special guest with us.
For segment two.
For segment numero dos.
For Dude, those, Spanish
for those
getting,
of you who speak Spanish.
Getting very good at Spanish. Getting very fluent.
I had a guy ask me the other day if I spoke Spanish. That's made up. Didn't even happen.
Okay, so we're drinking Spotted Cow by Father Stewart sent this to us.
Yeah, by New Glarus Brewing.
Do you think New Glarus?
Glarus?
Glarus.
We have Jonathan Conrad. He is the Catholic woodworker.
Yes.
If ever there was a Catholic woodworker, he is it. Except for Jesus, of course.
And Joseph.
And Joseph.
And Joseph.
Yeah.
And maybe his stepbrother, James. Depending on...
Yeah. Top five.
Right. Top five.
There we go.
Yeah, you're on the same hand as those guys. Anyway, Jonathan, thanks for being here on the episode with us.
Thanks for having me.
We brought you on for a very important reason, because you are the creator of the man gear today.
Yes, and before we get into the man gear, not only is Jonathan the creator of the man gear, but Jonathan has been a good friend of ours. He's actually... come down. We've actually met him in person. He's also been a big supporter of the Catholic Man Show. He's one of our longest supporters.
Very true.
I don't know exactly when, but he was one of the first Council of Man members.
Mm-hmm. Fellow podcaster.
A good friend of mine. Can't speak highly enough of him. So,
how about that, Jonathan?
That's the best I can do.
Appreciate it, guys. That was great.
Okay. All right. So, Jonathan, you are the creator of the man gear today. Are you ready? I'll let you do it, Jonathan. I'll let you bring in the man gear. Bring it in.
All right, so the man gear for this week's episode is the Catholic Man Show exclusive St. Michael Rosary. A long time in the making. We worked on this project for about six months, and it was really an exciting project, a new project. Going from an idea to a 3D design to a 3D printed resin object to eventually a sterling silver centerpiece. And now we're recasting these. And what's exciting about this is that We have the standard issue Catholic Man Show rosary, which is made out of ebony beads, unfinished, which means you're just extra manly. Super durable cord. If that isn't good enough for you, if you don't want a standard rosary and you want a one-of-a-kind rosary, you have the opportunity to go to our website, log in, and then design your very own rosary where you can pick all of the parts. You can pick the crucifix, whether it's a yellow or white bronze centerpiece, the beads, the cord, bead caps, even different potter beads. There's probably 50,000 different options that you could come up with. It's rare that I make the same custom rosary twice. I think it's only happened once or twice before. So it's a great opportunity to really put your own mark and make it something special. You can add on additional saint medals, patron saint medals, either at the centerpiece spot or the crucifix. And I think the most common thing would be if you have the St. Michael centerpiece, you add the miraculous medal as a side item, which Dave did on his. It's an honor for this rosary to be featured. It was certainly a labor of love, and it's been a really, really fun and exciting project to work with Adam and Dave on this.
Yeah. So I don't know how you got in touch with all the people, how you found all these people to have this, like the centerpiece.
Yeah, let's talk about the craftsmanship, because you know on the Catholic Mansion we talk about like having the art of a craft, and Jonathan has definitely fulfilled that checkbox of making rosaries.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, Jonathan, let's go through this rosary really fast, because like Dave said, it is one of a kind. Like you said, it's one of a kind.
You want to put it at the beverage camera?
Yeah,
right,
I can
there.
Put
I'll
the,
just switch
can you
it
do
over
that?
There.
Yeah. Okay. You were telling me, or telling him, like it's very, very detailed. The Saint Michael medal is very detailed. It's original. We made that ourselves.
You can show the other side.
Talk about it a little bit, Jonathan. Go ahead. Sorry, Jonathan. Go ahead. Talk about it. Talk about it real quick.
Yeah. So the St. Michael design is a, let's say, an original design. It's a compilation of several different images. But to me, I think it's a powerful image because it is a physical representation of what I would call our spiritual strength, what we should look like spiritually. We can't all look like St. Michael, but we can certainly live a life of virtue that I guess mimics that masculine exterior of, you know, this guardian, this protector of our families, of our parishes, of our communities, and of ourselves, to strive for sainthood, to strive for holiness. So that St. Michael image is something that we worked on. We probably went through 6 or 7 different iterations in 3D renders. And I think how did it all come together? Mary was instrumental in this from the very beginning. It seemed like an impossible task. I didn't know where to start. And then I just randomly come across this gentleman on Instagram. His name is Edving. He lives in Colombia, the country, speaks not a word of English. Literally, he doesn't speak English. I don't speak Spanish. We've used WhatsApp and Google Translate to go from, hey, I have this idea of a St. Michael image to a beautiful, powerful 3D rendering of the St. Michael centerpiece with the Catholic Man Show icon on the backside of the centerpiece. And, you know, like I said, that process took about 6 months and it felt like it was an impossible task. And yet somehow we pulled it off. And then he has a friend in Miami. This is a gentleman I've never met before. I don't even know his name. Somehow we managed to get the design to him. It's like 150 gigabyte file. It's been, every step has been somewhat miraculous.
Wow.
And you know, a couple months later I get 10 silver sterling silver centerpieces in the mail, and they're just stunning. So from that point then we've recasted them, and we're producing them in white bronze and yellow bronze out of a small old school jewelry manufacturer. Not really manufacturing, it's kind of old school casting methods down in New Mexico that does all of our reproduction of these centerpieces. And then from there, we have beads from the Philippines. So I've spent months and months scouring the internet for reputable sources of materials because I don't want garbage materials. I don't want garbage designs, and I want to know where they're coming from. I don't get anything on Amazon because I don't know where that comes from. But I know that the Philippines is a Catholic nation, and that beads that are made in the Philippines are supporting families and communities in that country. And so I have a lot of confidence that when I'm purchasing wood beads that are made by these craftsmen in the Philippines, that we're supporting a good holy culture, and I know where these things are coming from. So that comes from, that's where the beads are from, and the cord and the extra bead caps are made here in the U.S. by a couple of, you know, great manufacturers. And then the other parts, like the crucifixes, the St. Benedict crucifixes that the silver colored rosaries come from are from Italy. And these guys, there's 8 pieces, individual pieces that make up each one of those St. Benedict crosses. I've never seen quality like this before. So I get those directly from the manufacturer in Italy. And you know, this has been a 2-year labor of love, going from the original decade rosaries that I used to make to what we're producing today. And it's something that I'm proud of because I feel like it does justice to what the rosary is and the power of the rosary, which has been really transforming for my life.
If you're just now tuning in, we're talking with Jonathan Conrad of Catholic Woodworker. CatholicWoodworker.com is where you want to go. Jonathan, in a 30-second spit, why is it important for men to be carrying rosaries? Why is it important for men to be praying the rosary?
I can't think of an easier prayer to start with, first of all. It is a great reminder to pray, to have it in your pocket, and it is the most humble prayer that we can pray, because we're basically admitting that I can really do nothing on my own, but Mary has promised us through her son that these words have power, and therefore I can have confidence that this is not the least I can do, but the best that I can do. It takes 20 minutes to do. Even when you pray it lousy, it is better than some of the most efficacious other spiritual practices, simply because of the humility that's required in order to pray it on a regular basis. I tell people, if you pray the rosary daily, either one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to stop praying it, or you're going to stop living a life of sin, but you cannot do both.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
It's impossible.
And just carrying the rosary, you know, even if
it's a good place to start.
Yeah. Even if you don't get to pray it every day, you know, if you just maybe pray a decade, just carrying it on you, you're going to receive graces because it's a sacramental. And so just having that devotion to even carrying it,
right,
is something that's going to help build you, you know, in the spiritual life. And one of your mottos is built for battle, which I just love. We've only got about 20 seconds left, but how did you come up with that?
A good friend of mine recommended that I have a tagline, and he was very specific and said it should start with built for. And so I spent a little bit of time thinking about it and praying about it, and that's what we came up with. And I think it's a great motto for not only the products that we make, because I believe everything is made built for battle, but also my customers are, as a Catholic men, we are built for battle, and we better be prepared for battle.
Jonathan, thanks so much for tuning in with us, coming in. TheCatholicWoodworker.com is where you want to go. Go grab a Catholic Man Show rosary. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus, our King. Just got off the phone with, or Skype, or however you want to call it, video conference with Jonathan.
It's a vMix call.
A vMix call. Yeah. With Jonathan Conrad of CatholicWoodworker.com. Go to CatholicWoodworker.com to get the Catholic Man Show rosary and a whole slew of other great battle-ready weapons that he makes.
I think he must have over 1,000 possibilities.
Combos. Yeah, probably
between,
so.
Between the different rope colors, bead styles, accent pieces, center pieces.
Heirloom quality.
And I wanted to, there's a lot of things I want to say because I have become the biggest fan, really, of these rosaries. When you get it, it's like you think, yeah, okay, you know, it's a nice rosary. But I have, you know, I have a lot of rosaries that, but the more I have held this one, the wood, these wood beads to me just feel better in my hands than a metal bead rosary does. They're, you know, they're warm. I don't know. There's something about it that you can tell is just solid. Nice. You know what else? Personally, I really appreciate.
What's that?
Look at this.
Oh, it's
do you see that symmetry?
Yeah, it's As somebody who's OCD, you really appreciate
that. Look at
this. Symmetry.
Our Father beads right there together, just like they should be. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yes.
It drives me so crazy when you do this with a rosary and the Our Father beads
just a little
don't
off.
Line up. Ugh.
Okay, let's get into the topic. Let's get into the topic because we have a lot to cover. We're going to talk about Ember Days. This is the topic today.
Ember Days.
Ember Days.
Yeah.
Ember Days starts actually tomorrow. If you're listening to this Facebook Live right now, it starts tomorrow, which is a Wednesday. We're actually releasing this podcast early, so if you're listening via radio...
Today is today the 17th?
Today is
the 18th?
Today is Tuesday.
Yeah, but what's the date? Today's the 18th.
Today's the 18th.
So the September 19th
Wednesday.
Is the first Ember Day
right.
of the season.
Right. And so it's a Wednesday, it's a Friday, and it's a Saturday. Ember Days, it comes from, it's kind of convoluted because they either talk about it's Anglo-Saxon origin, meaning revolution, or it's also from the Latin. It's a distorted Latin word meaning four times. I was going to say four seasons, but that's not right. But it's four times.
Right.
So it happens four times a year, and it's between the third and fourth Sunday of Advent on like St. Lucy's feast day. It's on the first and second Sunday of Lent, between Pentecost and Trinity Sunday, and then the third week of September after the Feast of the Holy Cross, which is now.
Right.
And so it's basically a mini fast each quarter. You know, Lent, if you want to look at it, Lent is like our main fast, but as...
Yeah, Lent is the great fast.
Right. And so this is kind of... You know, guys, a lot of times, or at least for me, I shouldn't generalize, but I get into these habits and all of a sudden my good habits kind of trail off. I take a little bit off of my good habit, take a little bit more off of my good habit, and then all of a sudden... 3 weeks later, I'm not even doing that good habit anymore. I kind of get off the road very gradually. So Ember Days is a way of getting us reoriented. It's like a mini orientation of getting us back on track.
Yeah.
So it's a fast. It's correct. Is what it is.
Right.
Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. So it's not mandatory. It's not something. It used to be mandatory. But after Vatican II...
Did it used to be mandatory?
Up until Vatican II in 1966.
I thought I read that it was never obligatory.
No, it was. In fact, it was, so much was that St. Thomas Aquinas in the 13th century in the Summa wrote, when he was writing about fasting, he mentioned two times, Lent and Ember Days.
Okay.
So it was all... The best we can come up with is I have this written down. Pope Calixtus, who died in 222, that's the best we can say that he probably implemented it. Now there's some that say it's even before then, but that's when we can kind of say that's when it started.
Okay, so the other tradition is that this goes back to the very beginning.
Right,
but
I don't believe that.
Even that Saint Paul would have helped. Instituting it because it was it's possible that it was the Christianization of some pagan feasts that were around the harvest, right. The you know seed.
Well, it actually did start as a pagan holiday. I mean, because it was for a good harvest.
Yeah,
but the
so that could
the harvest is plenty. But I'm talking about for Catholics.
So, but I mean, it could have gone back to St. Paul. And
sure, but I'm talking about for like specifically for Catholics. Like mm-hmm. this is what Catholics do. There's even for a reason, like for a different reason than what the pagans did.
There's even a verse. I don't think I have it in the Old Testament that
Zechariah 8, chapter 8.
Yeah, yeah, that makes mention of it.
Right,
which is part of the evidence that people will say, no, look, this was a tradition that was from the very beginning. So right. either way, the point is, this is a very old.
Old thing.
Old tradition.
Right. And so we know for sure that in the 4th century, Rome was implementing it. For sure. Like, as a Catholic
So 300, tradition. In the 300s.
Right. And then, so basically, like I said, St. Thomas was talking about it in fasting for Lent and Ember Days. So we take Ember Days basically just like we would Good Friday, where we abstain from meat, and then we have one regular sized meal and two small meals that don't equal up to that one meal.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this isn't a obligation anymore. It's been lifted. Basically what happened, my understanding at least, is that after Vatican II, Pope Pius said he left it up to the Council of Bishops, and then the bishops just kind of didn't implement it. They didn't like say, this is what's happening. And so it kind of fell by the wayside.
Yeah. So I have in 1969, it was left to the councils and the USA bishops. Basically, they didn't officially observe them. But some countries still do. I don't know which. But the part of the Ember Days is that the whole community would come. You know, that's kind of the part of it, is that we're all doing it together. But you can still do it as in small communities, or your family can do it. I think that's mm-hmm. I think that's a great idea.
One of the main reasons for Ember Days was it was a fasting for good priests. Like, for good vocations, which, unless you've been living under a rock, you can know that we probably need that right now. We could use a little bit more of that.
Totally.
You know, and this goes back, this is biblical when it comes to this aspect, because in Acts 13:3, they talk about how the apostles would fast and pray and then lay hands or ordain other bishops.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was you would fast and pray. And then after that would be the feast, right? Which would be the ordination. And so that's how they kind of implemented it into the Catholic culture, was that, hey, we need to fast and pray for these for good vocations. And then the fruit would come afterwards.
So I don't know if we mentioned this, but the progression, and the Ember Days are Wednesday, Friday, Saturday mm-hmm. of the week. Did you say that?
Yes.
Okay. So it used to be, with regard to that, you know, they would fast and then lay hands. There was a tradition that's when they would ordain priests. It was during the week. They would only ordain priests at some point in history. I don't have the date, I don't think. But they would only do it on the week of the Ember Days.
Okay. Well, and Wednesday...
Which makes sense.
Wednesday and Fridays are typical fasting days for Catholics anyway. They used to be, at least. I mean, even in the regular liturgical year, I mean, Wednesdays and Fridays are the fasting days. But that's kind of, unfortunately, fasting has gone by the wayside a little bit, in my opinion. But I think that this is a good opportunity for, okay, so guys, with all the scandal that's happening, with everything that's been happening in the church, it's very hard for the laity to say, hey, here's what we can do. Because we can't set the procedures, we can't set the protocol, we're not part of the hierarchy of the church, but we are members of the body of Christ, we are members of the church. So what can we do? This is something that we can actively do, which would be fasting for Pope Francis, we're fasting for the bishops around the world, for good priests, for good deacons, for good religious, the bishops in Wisconsin, the bishop in Madison, Wisconsin, and the Diocese of Pittsburgh, I believe, they both asked...
We're drinking a product of Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers to those bishops.
Both bishops asked the diocese to participate in the Ember Days.
Yeah. Okay, because a lot of the problems in the church right now, basically... for us as the laity, we don't necessarily know who knew what and when and what they told other people. We basically need somebody who's part of the cover-up to have a conversion and come out and say, hey, I am the, you know, I helped do this. This is, you know, and I don't want to die like this. And so this fasting, so you can't make someone do that. You know, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially here in the States, you're going to fly over to Rome and, you know, shake a cardinal down or something. I wouldn't recommend that.
Yeah.
But think about this. Thomas Aquinas, he's sitting there writing the Summa.
Mm-hmm.
And then he realizes, you know, he has this mystical experience,
mm-hmm.
and realizes everything he's done is straw in his own. That's what he said.
Right.
And he dedicated the rest of his life to prayer and fasting because he realized he could have a greater effect on the world in that way.
And he wrote the Summa.
Right. So prayer and fasting is very efficacious. We're going to keep talking about this when we get back.
Yeah.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show.
We're on the Lord's team.
I'm David Niles.
The winning side.
And I do raise my glass to the saints and to Our Lady. Protect us.
And Holy Mother Church.
Yes. Anyway, we're talking about Ember Days. As we mentioned in the first segment, let me sum up.
Okay. Is there too much?
There's a lot.
But we will sum.
Wednesdays, Fridays, Saturdays.
Yes. Fasting.
The Ember Days comes from a word which means four times a year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one in every season. The one this season is the Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, immediately following the veneration of the cross, the feast.
Of the Holy Cross.
Of the Holy Cross. Holy Cross?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not veneration of the cross.
No, it's a feast of the Holy Cross.
Or is it Feast of the Veneration of the Holy Cross? Whatever it is. Just happened. So it's this Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Totally optional, but a great thing to do, especially do it with your family. I think, you know, one of the things we try to talk about a lot is building a Catholic culture, especially for the men out there, the fathers. You know, what can you do? And so I think this is a good thing to do because it's not all the time.
Right.
You know, it's three extra times a year, essentially, because, and, you know, do it during Lent. Right. If you want to,
so
you're kind of already fasting,
right.
But nobody really fasts this way all Lent. It's not like every day of Lent you're eating one meal and two small meals and abstaining from
meat.
Maybe
you are. Maybe
some, you know, people in the Eastern churches, they're
pretty hardcore.
Yeah, Lent for them is it's a different game.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I am about to go over now, I'm totally ripping off from a website called CatholicCulture.org. Go check them out. They had a phenomenal article written up about Ember Days.
Okay.
Because there are some station churches where, as far as the liturgy for Ember Days, certain churches are associated with certain days. So St. Mary Major in Rome is associated with the Wednesday of Ember Days. I've been there. Beautiful church. There's a huge golden Mary statue out front. It's very beautiful. Dude, you have to go to Rome.
Will you pay for it?
I will not. I paid for myself when I went. And let me tell you, it's just getting more expensive the more you put it off. You get, you know, more and more kids.
Yeah, I know.
Presumably. Anyway.
God willing.
God willing. That's right. Then there's the Basilica of the Apostles. I presume that these are all in Rome. I do not know this particular church.
Okay.
I may have gone there. I don't recall.
Okay.
We went to a lot of churches. But anyway, that they're the Friday. And then finally, St. Peter's Basilica is the Saturday.
Because there's specific liturgies for Ember Days. Now, I don't know if they're going to, you know, here in the U.S., I don't know if they'll observe them or not.
Right.
But
I don't even know if they do them in Rome anymore.
They're extra. There's extra readings. There's, you know, a specific liturgy for Ember Days.
Yeah.
So if anything, if you can't necessarily fast for whatever reason, if your health doesn't allow you to, or what for whatever reason, you should at least attempt to go to Mass Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday this week.
And then traditionally, there were themes that each of the days...
I like themes.
Yeah, each of the days were for a different theme.
Okay.
So the Wednesday in the spring... Oh, no, I'm sorry, not the Wednesday. The spring, the theme was to give thanks for the rebirth of nature and for the gift of light. And usually flowers are offered at this time, is what it says. So when you do it in the spring, that's what you're thinking about. In the summer, in the octave of Pentecost, you give thanks for the wheat crop. So you could give thanks for just...
For beer.
Yes.
Give thanks for beer.
Good one. Thank good you. One, Adam. Thank in you. In autumn, the one we're doing this week, give thanks for the grape harvest. So
for wine.
Right. That's what I thought of too when I read this. And I was thinking, well... You're fasting, so...
But you can still give thanks for it.
You can give thanks for it, right. What better way to give thanks for wine than to have a glass, you know? But that's not what we're doing on the Ember Days.
Right.
But there's Thursday, which is not a day of... There's like this Thursday in between there.
Right.
To maybe squeeze a
just glass indul- of... No, I'm not.
Just squeeze a, you know, a glass of wine in if the time is apropos. And then in the winter... you give thanks for the olive crop.
Olive oil.
Right. With Christ throughout the year, of course.
Popeye.
Yeah. Just haven't thought about that cartoon in a while.
Yes, I got a pun in. I got a pun in this episode. I win. I agree. So let's talk about redemptive suffering. Because, I had to explain recently... You know why we fast to my boss, but let me ask you:
okay.
If someone said, somebody, Dave, the Catholic guy in the office, and all of a sudden he walks by and asks you, "Hey, you want to go to lunch?" And lunch was,
I would say, "No, I'm fasting."
What is fasting? And why would you do it?
Oh, okay. Okay, well...
You didn't think that's where I was going with
that? No, I thought you were going to say, let's go to lunch. And then over lunch, he asks you about redemptive suffering. Oh. I was trying to...
Swing and a miss.
What is fasting and why would I do it? So yep. Fasting, I would say, is where you limit the amount of food that you eat throughout the day. Intentionally eat less than...
Just food?
Than you otherwise would. Or, that's the traditional fasting,
right.
is food. Okay. And then I would go on to say, after that... You can fast from other things as well, like coffee or TV or anything that you like.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that you go without something that is good, something that you enjoy, in order to offer up that sacrifice for another good. You're giving up one good for the sake of another.
So almost like the priesthood, where they give up the goodness of marriage and the conjugal act for the a greater good of building the kingdom of God.
Right, and for embracing, that's kind of a unique, because they're embracing an eschatological reality now.
Yeah, dude, here on Okay, I get it. Keep going.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a lot about, like, St. Thomas talks about what is love, and it's the willing of the good of another.
Yeah.
So that applies a lot.
Or St. Paul, when he says... I am making up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ.
When you read that, it's almost like a scandalous
verse.
Yeah,
it is. It is kind of scandalous because you're saying what? You know, Christ's suffering on the cross was incomplete.
Right.
And the answer to that is yes. If you had asked, was Christ's suffering insufficient? Then I would say no. His suffering was more than sufficient.
Right.
However, it's incomplete because we're making up what is lacking in the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. What's lacking is our own sufferings. When we fail to offer them, when, you know, we suffer worthlessly,
mm-hmm.
we should, our sufferings are something that we should take advantage of.
Right.
And yeah. We, by offering them, giving them to Christ and learning to suffer well, it's a two-part thing. You know, one, you have to intentionally give it up and embrace it. Okay. So on the one hand, you say, I'm going to embrace this. And that's the way you give it to Christ. And then you have to learn to suffer to do it well. You know, if you're in a terrible mood while you're fasting, you've got to learn to get over that. And it's hard. It's just like working out. You know, that's the example everybody uses, but I think it's a good one.
Right. Well, I mean, a lot of saints talk about, you know, in their later writings as they've grown spiritually, they talk about they don't like when they don't have something to offer up, like when life is easy for them, or they're very complacent, or not complacent, but very easygoing, like there's nothing to offer up to to Christ. They get they want something. They want some kind of burden.
Yeah, yeah. They'll talk about being wounded, having the, you know, the love of Christ has wounded them, but it's a wound that brings them joy, because, you know, in fact, Mother Angelica, you know, when she got out of the hospital after an illness, that was one thing she lamented, is that she felt like she didn't have anything to offer Christ anymore.
Right. Yeah. And so I think it's important that we challenge, you know, all men out there specifically, to try to participate in Ember Days in some way, shape, or form. Now, you're not bound by it. It's not it's not something you have to do. If you break the fast, it's not something you have to go to confession for. You're not held by pain of mortal sin by any means. But a lot of suffering together, you know, offering up a lot of suffering together is for the greater good, is more efficacious.
Right. Yeah. So the last thing that was on this article from CatholicCulture.org they were giving some reasons why would you observe the Ember Days, this is what he said: in thanksgiving for God's creation, a mini Lent to bring our focus back to God, and that's definitely
that's kind
true.
Of what I was saying. Saying earlier.
Yeah, I agree. When you suffer, it has a way of bringing you back to God.
Mm-hmm.
If you have been away from your prayer life, what is it that brings you running back? Trial.
Realizing that you need God.
Trial. It's right. Suffering. All of a sudden you're broke.
Right.
And you realize, I haven't prayed in a couple of years.
Right.
Well, now you're praying.
Right.
You know, so suffering has a way of orienting our soul and our mind and towards God.
Knowing that we need Him.
Right. And so that's why God completely allows suffering in our life many times.
Right.
Not always. But then finally, this is the third. A family program brings us closer to God. So, you know, doing it at not just yourself, but asking your family, your kids to do it along with you. Your kids don't have to do the same kind of fast as you. But then finally, offer it up for priests and vocations, which also,
that's a big
also
one
we talked about.
I think that's the biggest one that we need to be doing right now, this day and age. Hey, we want to thank Father Stewart for the beer. We want to thank Jonathan Conrad for joining us for the second segment. Go to CatholicWoodworker.com and enjoy the fast. Because there will be a feast.
Celebrate it.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.